Welcome back to another episode of Sexy Marriage Radio. And let's just jump right in because today's episode's all about marital communication.
Perfect.
So when we were talking ahead of the time, it was like, well, this would be like communication 101, but I think it's actually going to be like communication 301 or 401 or 501, one of the deeper into it.
Yeah, it's way past the, we just don't communicate.
Right. So this is the email from a wife that just came in that says, I've been listening to the podcast a couple of years now. My husband occasionally listens as well when I send him an episode. We're recently struggling with an issue, however. We've been married for 17 years. We have 4 kids, and it's been quite the journey. For the most part, we usually work through our issues. But the last few months, we've noticed that when my husband confronts me about something, usually in the form of asking a question, I don't answer the question, and I end up responding with what I think he's wanting me to say, which then escalates things, and he gets frustrated, and I shut down. After going through this a few times, we've come to the conclusion that when I feel like there's a conflict, I instantly get defensive and try to placate. And I don't even realize I'm doing it in the moment. So I grew up with emotionally immature parents, and it's helped me and it's messed me up a little. I'm not sure how to get out of this cycle. I know I'm safe with my husband, and I know he's not trying to attack, yet it triggers this response. What can I do to work through this? Thank you. Well, since this is an ongoing conversation that we get to have with the nation, and then specifically we get to have conversations based on how questions come in and frame it, if just a quick plug, if people out there in the nation want to have a conversation with us too, email us at feedback@sexymarriageradio.com or 214-702-9565 is the voicemail line. But here's what's interesting to me when you think about this, because some of this is, there's nothing going wrong and the way things get revealed in us in marriage.
Okay.
Right. Because she says, even when he brings something up in the frame of a question, she'll hear it as defensive, confronting.
Well, I guess that was my biggest takeaway was when he confronts me about something, I'm curious if confronting sounds really conflictual and combative.
Okay.
As opposed to, maybe other verbiage that would be used, you know, I mean, you just said when he asked me a question, that's different than confronting.
But even what's interesting is they've recognized a pattern of he knows how to confront via asking a question, which is a sophisticated move of I'm bringing up something, but I'm doing it in the form of a question, which all of these patterns are learned. And so one of the things I want to ask them specifically right out the gates is when they first started noticing these patterns, who noticed it first? Who's the one that pointed it out first? Because if he's recognizing something in her, which is not at all unlikely, that we will see what our spouse is doing that makes me upset or frustrating or not dealing with something more so than I will see what I'm doing that makes that complicates the issues in general. That's kind of the way it unfolds when we're first getting introduced to this pattern and ourselves. And so if he's the one that's noticed this about her, and now she's coming to grips with, I think this is true, one of the questions she needs to ask herself is, how settled is she in that it is correct? Because sometimes we still will fight the fact that, no, I think you're wrong, and not even be honest to realize, no, it's right. I do this. And if I keep that fight going on, I'm avoiding what's actually being presented to me, right? Because I'm like, how could you think this about me? I think you're so wrong. And then I start doing the worst in me threads, which is I start presenting back to you what you're doing wrong. And, you know,
well, you take the focus off of what the real issue was that was brought up, right?
Exactly. It's the whole, well, you phrased it in the wrong way. The tone, you knew what I was going on. I was so busy and stressed right now. How could you even bring that up right now? You know, and now all of a sudden, all I'm doing is getting after you because of your bad timing rather than what you're bringing to me is 100% correct on what I'm doing about it. And then the same thing is true on his side of the equation. If he has learned how to confront via asking questions, is that always the best way forward? Because sometimes trying to be upfront about some things isn't a question, it's a statement. It doesn't necessarily need to be responded to, because if I come at you with a confrontation via a question, I'm eliciting a conversation.
I guess I don't understand why a question is Do you have an example of why would a question be a bad way to address it?
Well, it's all in how you frame the question, because think of how sophisticated we can get. I mean, I think of what lawyers do is they take whoever's on the witness stand down a path with the way they frame and set up their questions. Journalists do this. They frame questions to try to lead you somewhere. And we do this as married people, because I know how to approach you on some things based on what I'm reading, what's going on with the situation. I know maybe how to come at it a little softer or come at it head on. And there's a continuum between those. 32 years with you, baby. You've got the same data on me.
Maybe I have data, but I'm not skilled at how to break it down, right?
Fair. But to kind of set the stage, that this is a normal pattern, that when something gets exposed to me, when I get confronted with something, there is an instinctual, in some ways even biological, response mechanism that can kick in. It's a threat here. What I'm feeling is a perceived threat, which is oftentimes then responded to initially from the amygdala, the reptilian brain, which is just fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just a true instinctual must protect self, must get out of this, must whatever. And that's just a human thing. And so the fact that she's actually recognizing this and they're bringing it up is fantastic. Because when we're under stress, that's when this wreaks the most havoc to us. Because I got a mini regression going on. I'm not functioning well.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now the slightest little thing will elicit a bigger reaction than if you're kind of really functioning well. It's been a good day. You're kind of in good spirits. You can handle something that comes at you completely differently. And so first off, it's just recognizing this is just a normal pattern. So how you switch it is you just get better and better at recognizing it. And it's not his job to recognize it in her.
Okay.
And I mean, she could actually come to him and say, hey, if you feel like I was just placating things and trying to seek out what I think you want to hear, for the most part, I'm going to say, please tell me. You know, because sometimes I'm going to not want you to tell me that either. Because nope, don't. Because maybe even I knew that, yeah, I didn't handle that well. I was just placating and I'm mad at myself. And then, hey, you realize. And then we're kind of piling on.
Isn't that when you would legitimately ask the question, are you just placating me here? I mean, I just don't. Is there anything wrong with asking that question?
No. I don't think there is. But then it becomes, because here's where it gets so sophisticated in marriage, is it's not always because of lack of information or lack of agreement on something, or even there's an element of indifference. You ask me about something that you want to go do, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good with that. And that, you don't know if that's a, wait, are you really good with that? Are you just trying to avoid any kind of conflict and you're not good with that? Or you're so okay with that and you'll go along with it and you won't hold me responsible if it goes sideways. You know, there's a lot of different elements within this that we have history over, that so we can start getting real deep into the weeds if we're not too careful with, okay, wait, this is just more about understanding patterns first and foremost, and then trying to get to where I start to realize for her, okay, what's motivating this idea of I'm just trying to avoid a conflict? Is that really what it is? Or am I really struggling with, I don't know how to be confident in my own voice? Because that's a different issue.
Sure.
They overlap and they feed off each other.
Sure.
There's a synergy here, obviously. But
and I guess some of this could be on the topic and whether you really have much of a passion for the topic or not.
Mm-hmm.
On that, you know, sex, finances, money, kids, all the things that are kind of the hot buttons. Well, I might be more passionate about, but where we go to eat, I may not be as passionate about.
Well, and sometimes though, when the way, the timing of something that happens or the way in which it is brought up comes across as feel like I'm being judged, feels like I'm being criticized about something when maybe I am, maybe I'm not, because this is where there's so many layers in this, right? I mean, even this morning, let's just use us as an example.
We have an example, for sure.
that we have a normal pattern of the days we're going to record.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, my schedule is off of the running that I usually do because of having to shift a couple of things over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a day behind where I normally am. So normally I'm not going to run on a day we record, which is just complicates things because you've got a schedule. You've got to get to an office by a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come out getting ready to run, I'm reading that as, did you forget we're going to record this morning? What are you doing? Right. And I didn't say any of this. It's just what's going on in my head. And so then I'm like, oh, so you're running this morning? And I didn't phrase it like that. I'll own it. There was a little bit of a bite to it, I think, in the way I said it. And you're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I had, for whatever reason, I had to implement into and incur and engage in, oh, I'm running after.
Yes.
And where that came from, I have no idea.
I don't know either, because I read that as, well, can't you just run after? Which, no.
Exactly. But that's how complicated the whole thing.
Yeah. And the listeners have no idea. Why can't she run after? Well, there's other steps in this equation.
She's got appointments at her office, whereas I've got appointments at the house.
And I still have to shower and all the things.
And there's a different, but it's all of this thing gets complicated because the way things are landing on you impacts what all is going on and everything you've got going on in the moment, which in some lots of ways has nothing to do with me and some to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the timing of everything being exposed will reveal things. And then it just comes down to how am I better at, okay, wait, what's my default modes? That's what she's recognizing is her default mode is oftentimes, how do I just try to seek to land what I think he's looking for here so I can just placate him. Maybe it's under the veil of, I think I'm just trying to be kind. I'm just trying to be gentle about things. Or it can be I don't really have a voice because I don't really know.
Yeah.
And so wherever it is on that continuum, it's better for her to land with this idea of what am I really wanting in these moments? And most of these are handled best after the fact. It's hard to do this in midterms, right? Right in the midst of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we get, even this morning, like a microsecond went all off the rails.
Yeah.
Not severely by any means, but it was still just like, that was not a normal banter that we would have in the morning.
No, it was not.
Right? That was completely different. And it was just so quick. So then it comes down to how do you recover from it? That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
We learn to be better at these by recovering better, but then we also learn to come back to them and address them better after the fact.
I think that that's a huge key. And that's what I've seen for me has started turning the tide in the communication realm is owning up to when I know I didn't handle something well.
Mm-hmm.
And that just softens everything for the future. When we talk about marriage is a long game, sex is a long game, all these things. Well, a lot of that comes down to this. How do I recover? How do I respond to my spouse 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or maybe even a day later after I really realize I didn't handle that well?
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks volumes to the person you're in relationship with if you own that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of respect and love. So many things tied up in that.
Yeah. And so if you wanted to let's get tactical for them just a little bit before we wind up the regular segment. And then we'll go a little deeper in the extended content on just some basic components of marital communication and kind of continue on this thread on a global scale rather than this specific that she's asking on this subject. So when she starts to recognize there's patterns, or he recognizes their patterns, because the fact that they both understand this and recognize this, then they're much better equipped to start leaning into the dynamic with themselves better.
Yeah,
they handle themselves better, not each other, but themselves better.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I love, and this is a Dr. Glover statement, is keep the conversations, like whenever you're being asked a question, use a one or two sentence rule as an answer. Don't go longer. If it can be a short, concise, just answer the question, do it.
I need that with my kids when I try to preach to them.
Yeah, but it's so. But it's the
okay.
Base,
I like it.
But the basic
like
premise,
it.
And it works on the other side too. That if I got a question, or something I'm asking, or something I want to bring up with my spouse or a kid or somebody that matters to me, I need to adopt this two sentence rule there too. Because
yeah.
If it takes me longer than two sentences to try to get across what I'm wanting to say,
yeah.
I've already lost the ground I'm hoping to gain.
Because they stop listening,
and I'm adding so much more data in it because. Part of what I'm betting happens is he will bring up something in this equation. This is just my hypothesis that I'd want to explore in real time with them if they were working with me.
Sure.
Is he would bring up something, and it may not be concise. It may also have, hey, I was really wanting to go do this. And in the last time we did this, it wasn't really, you know, so you start adding other layers to it. And now what our brains can do, because this is the worst in us that's so adept at avoiding things, is my brain can then latch on to something that you brought up that was wrong so I can avoid what actually is being exposed that was right.
Fair. Yeah, that's what we do as humans, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so keep the data limited.
Right, and so bring it up on like, hey, this is what's going on. It's a real problem. Done. Now we see what we do. Can we collaborate to deal with this or not? Because when I add more data, because oftentimes our brains... The motivation behind that is I'm trying to soften what I'm bringing to you.
And why would I try and soften it? Am I softening it because I guess it could be a gamut of a whole array of things. I'm wondering, am I softening it because I don't like conflict or because I don't want to hurt their feelings or because I'm not confident in myself?
Yes, let's go with all of those. but I think it's true because there's a lot of motivations we have of I'm not supposed to be this harsh with somebody. Because even when I'm being kind and how I'm bringing something up, it could feel like I'm being really harsh.
Yeah.
Because it goes against what I was raised with and what's been modeled.
Yeah.
Or there can be an element that maybe I was raised in this environment. You know, somebody up in the Northeast was raised, I'll just be blunt. I mean, sometimes the clients I get that are in New York, they're fantastic because they're like, bring it. This is the way I live. I live life completely out loud.
Yeah, and
but even that's
not the South, right?
Even that's not a hierarchy of functioning, though. Let's just be clear. Blunt doesn't always mean I like blunt coming back at me.
Sure.
And so it's just this element of when I can keep it more concise, I get to the root faster, which is the whole point. I get to an understanding faster. I see myself cleaner. And then you can also look at it as I'm having these dialogues, what do I need to do to pause them if I need to realize, wait a second, I'm seeing myself here and I'm not settled. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I need to really recenter before I continue on. It's not just a quick, I can derail a lot faster than I can get back on the rails.
Sure.
Right, because it's a deeper embedded mechanism in our brain and our feelings and all of the cycles we've got within us, all the systems we have within us, operate so much faster than the mechanisms I need to employ to get back on track.
Well, you just think of your visual there of derailing.
Mm-hmm.
When I derail, I got things that got broken. Maybe there's a fire that started and things exploded. I got to have a cleanup crew come in.
Right.
I mean, it does because there's harm that can come in there
right.
That then you got to repair.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the hope then becomes how can they, I mean, because this is just almost like a trial by experiment. I'm just learning. It's a laboratory. Start looking at these moments as a laboratory and experiment. And just realize, okay, I'm going into this to learn about myself and my spouse, right? So I can start to see some things. And then if you can have some regular moments of debrief where, because this is where I'm trying to update to your map on some things. I could bring something up or you're doing the same to me. You bring up something to me and I'm like, yeah, I'm good with that. And you could have in your mind going, okay, either he is or this is the old guy that is saying he is and he's really not.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So
could go either way.
In time, it'll come true, hopefully. Or if I'm still uncertain, then it might be better if I come back later and go, okay, wait a second. I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear. Help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was probably 60-40 or whatever it might have been, yeah. Right? And because we all are in process of becoming. And so this, in a nutshell of what she's presenting, is how it's playing, how it plays out for them, is their crucible that's driving them to grow. It likely is not going to go away completely, but that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you get empowered more to handle it better in the midst of it. I think of this just like climbing a mountain. All right, we'll end it with this. We don't master a mountain. We master ourselves while climbing it.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And when we can do that, man, we empower our marriage to go places it's not yet gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets enjoyable and a little dicey and scary at times too, because it's unknown territory.
Yeah.
But you start realizing your capability and it becomes limitless on what we can do.
Yeah.
As we segue into the extended content, I guess let's just continue the conversation about why is marital communication so difficult? Because that's kind of what we've been highlighting.
Yeah.
And it's, you even alluded to this at the very beginning, because we frame oftentimes marital conversations as communication problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I think it's fueled on the one hand by we think we should be in lockstep, even though objectively speaking, we know we won't be, but we think we should be this Borg collective, one brain. We see things the same. And there will just be this seamlessness to it.
I think that's often how we go into a marriage relationship.
I think that's still buried deep within us. That it's like, even though I know...
Is there anything wrong with hoping for that?
No. Well,
I mean...
But the hoping for it is what can fuel why we frame this as there's a problem.
Fair. Maybe we should hope for, how is he going to challenge me today?
Right. Well...
Because it'll be a growth opportunity for me. This is going to be an amazing day because Corey's going to challenge me today.
So, I think we also do this where we think that a marriage communication problem means I'm just lacking skills, which in some instances there can be components of this that's true. Of like, okay,
yeah.
I'm not a real good, calm, articulate, whatever, but I still don't want to land in it's a majority skills problem, because it's not. It's more of a developmental problem. It's a us as people developing is the goal.
Okay.
Because if you think of the couples that we've come across that we would respect, right? That are the ones that are like, wow, I like their marriage, just from what's portrayed. And obviously we don't know the whole story.
Like them as people, right? Where they're going.
They're good, solid people. They're humble.
Mm-hmm.
They've got character and integrity, and it's borne out. It's not that, and it's people that we would know that we've got a history with, not just people. I've met them for 5 times and man, because you don't really know the whole story at this point, but those are the people that have developed over a longer time or lots of struggle. They've recognized their capabilities. They've recognized their depths. They've recognized what matters to them.
Yeah.
And they live accordingly. And it's not that they don't have communication problems. It's just their developmental approach to it is different because of where they are on how they handle this when they come up with a disagreement. It's not the end of the world. It's just an opportunity.
Developmental, their faith. Mm-hmm. Which goes beyond what we look to humans to kind of fulfill, mm-hmm. right? I mean, to me, the people I look to, that I see in that kind of light, that's typically where that lands.
And they also have realized, I think, that a disagreement between spouses doesn't mean there's a lack of safety. And,
yeah, I think
it's not a threat.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's a really good point.
Because a lot of times I think we want to have, I want to get information from you when I ask questions or bring up something, but I want it presented back to me in a way that makes me feel safe, right? That I know the kind of answer I'm going to get, and it'll be articulated kindly and gently. And we don't know that. That's part of what's going to happen in marriage, is there's going to be dynamics where this is more about trying to get to the truth of, okay, I really want to know what you think, what you believe, yes, what's going on with you. Knowing full well when you answer that honestly, it's going to come back and make some discomforting things most likely.
Yeah.
Because now I'm wrestling with, okay, wait a second. How do I face this now? Because it just changed, because there's more information that can be a little scary. And that usually doesn't mean I feel real safe, quote unquote, on the way we typically think about it.
Yeah, potentially. I don't even know where to go with that.
It's though. Okay. Well, and then also this is built on the idea of the maps we have of each other, like we just alluded to in the regular version of, mm-hmm, okay, wait, you're either okay with it or you're not. Which one is it?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's trying to constantly realize I have a map of you that for the most part is going to be pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It's not mind reading, but I know tendencies and history.
Yeah.
And even if, and I know some people will be going, yeah, but I never can read my partner. I never can get an idea of what they're thinking about or how their life has been or what the day's been like. Because that happens.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the brain doesn't still have that data. Because it does.
What do you mean?
It's just not conscious.
Even if I can't read them, my brain has what data then?
It knows on a deeper level the subtle shifts that have gone on, mm-hmm, based on how you're acting, based on what it's got from the past.
Okay.
There's an unconscious thing that's going on here because it's part of our survival as creatures in some ways. It's part of what's helped us. I mean, I think of all the countless examples I've heard from clients, and then when I go to different trainings and you get exposed to a lot of other people's clients, and when you're raised in a really volatile home, you have finely tuned skills that have become more overt because you had to learn at an early age how to survive that household, like in some instances literally because of violence.
Sure.
And so you're able to read people really, really well. That's an ability we all have. Some of us just don't. It's not as much of an operating system that we're aware of, but it is in there. That's why I could have this whole, I'm really unsettled about something and I don't know what it is. Well, I've read something possibly in a situation that mirrors something else. And that where this plays out the most is marriage. Because I have so much data with the person I've had sex with, I've had to create a family with, we've done a household with. There's a lot of overlap of life.
But when you don't know what to do with it.
That's why it starts to become more complicated, because I get this mismatch going on, yeah, of I'm not sure why I'm overreacting to this so much. Well, deep down, my brain knows. It's just not conscious.
Yeah.
And so it's just understanding that what's being exposed in me is where I have to learn. That's the whole developmental process. How do I handle myself better? Of okay, what could this be? What's going on? What just happened? What did they say that was right? What was true? What do I need to do about that? And that's the same kind of thing we talked about in the regular version, but I want to expand it in all areas of my life as well. On just if I get a dust up with you, like even this morning, like we talked about. Okay, as you left to go run, I'm going through in my mind, why was I questioning that? Why was I, you know, what made it to where I didn't come forward this way? Why, you know, because I had options. I even saw them as you came out. Well, I saw you getting ready and I'm like, oh, she's going running. I even had time to prepare, but it's still the old mechanism just came through rather than, wait a second. I could have handled this. Hey, honey, you remember we're recording this morning? Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And it could have been done. Right. But it's still, for whatever reason, that lane didn't make it all the way to the surface. The old one did.
Yeah.
And, But recognizing it makes it to where hopefully next time when this happens, that's going to get a little bit faster and closer to the surface and beat out the other one maybe.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, I could just give you a heads up. Hey, I'm going to go running beforehand. So, you know, I didn't forget. So it goes two ways. It's yeah. not like you're the only one that knew that was an awkward conversation. And so I think that both of you owning up.
Well, and it takes one person to take the lead in that
yeah.
for the
yeah.
marriage, but the marriage gets the benefit of it. It's not because I'm doing it, so you'll have to do it too.
Exactly.
It's, I'm doing exactly. it because this is who I want to be. I want to handle myself differently with this. I don't yep. want to be the guy that gets tentative around things that he's not certain about. And so he placates. I can relate to the wife in that email from the regular version of,
yeah.
I would soft pedal things. I would undercut things. I would undersell things. Right. And it's yeah. like, cause I'm just not wanting to offend or upset or get a reaction back or disappoint or something.
Yeah.
So that's what's being exposed. And so when you start seeing all of marital communication is a playground and a laboratory for our growth, how do I have the courage to actually examine what's being exposed that I can grow in all of it, mm-hmm. and pick a couple and go deep with it? Start looking at the situation of, okay, was I regressed in that moment a little bit? Was I distracted by other things? Okay, mm-hmm. maybe I was. So what do I need to do to handle that differently? Mm-hmm. And maybe if I get better at just having a, hold on, I'm not sure how to handle this yet. Give me a moment. Rather than I must reply right now, because that's often a marital pattern too.
Feeling like you have to respond right away.
Well, and it's also been taught if I bring something to you, I am expecting a response right away because that's the way I communicate.
Right.
Whereas I could be married to someone that's like, I need a little bit of time. And it's like, how dare you? Because if you take time, you're stonewalling me. You're avoiding the question and all these things that I can do. You know,
yeah, well, maybe if I see that that's my issue and I expect that, maybe I need to step back and say, you know what? I'm going to start taking more time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to set a clock on this sucker. And I can't respond before, I don't know, 30 minutes have passed right. or whatever
so,
the case.
So if I really want to get better at marital communication, I need to handle myself first, second, and third.
Better, okay.
if you will, that it's just a constant practice of self-validation. I don't need reassurance from you. I need to get better at, okay, what am I really trying to articulate here? Mm-hmm. What do I really think? And if I don't know, how do I have the time or the courage, better way to say it, to figure it out, what I really think, what's going on? And then I bring that back. That's a whole different ball game than I'm trying to fish around to what's the best way to land this plane. Because a lot of times, one of the fundamental beliefs I love is the idea that most of the time when there's tension in marriage, one of us, if not both of us, could just be looking for ways to how we get this tension to go away right now, even at the cost of not dealing with what's being providing the tension.
Sure.
Versus, how do I embrace the tension a little differently and realize there's nothing going wrong here? It's okay. It's uncomfortable, yes, but it's okay. So how do I face that better? And then I can grow and create better moments of meeting. This is what we talked about, the retreat I got to do over the weekend with a church that brought us in. Mm-hmm. And we spent a lot of time in the last session talking about we're after moments of meeting where we truly see each other. Where we truly are known
mm-hmm.
by each other. And there's this idea of I'm presenting myself better. That's the only way I can cultivate moments of meaning. It's not about I learn how to understand you. That's second. First is I understand self better and I bring it forward.
Yeah, I'm willing to be intimate and expose myself to you. And mm-hmm. I can't be there and meet you where you are if mm-hmm. I'm not willing to do that.
Right. Because there could be an element. Let's land it with this. There could be an element from the first segment that husband brings something to wife and he's done everything he could in the way he frames it. And it's a good statement and it's going to land a little hard maybe, but, mm-hmm. and it's going to elicit some feelings for sure, but he's done what he could to keep it where it's not an attack. It's just a statement. And she finds herself placating it, but it's dressed up differently where it looks like she's not, but she it still sort of is, right? It's maybe 60-40 placating. And he might see a difference, like, cool. But then she walks away and goes, I think there's still an old pattern in me here. And then what you're describing here, which is the true way you actually start to create moments of meeting, is she would then in due time and in short order come to him and say, hang on a second. Upon thinking about this, I realized what I was doing was avoiding this. And here's what I really think in response to your answer, your question,
yeah,
or your statement. That's a different, I'm presenting myself different and better because I'm recognizing me better. And I'm letting you know it. Mm-hmm. Because anytime I let my spouse in on the fact that I'm handling myself better and I show that, guess what they will want most of the time? Me to keep living that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it's attractive. It's more attractive.
And it then creates a different depth and meaning to the marriage.
Yeah.
And what we can become. Because then it's this no longer, I have to soft pedal things to make sure I don't get something from you. And instead it's like, you're showing you'll handle this.
Yeah.
So how do I handle me better with what I bring forward? And it's exposing both of us in real time so much faster, which therein lies the whole process of growing up in marriage.
Yeah.
Marital communication can mean so many things when you think about it. That element of everything we do communicates something is at play here.
Yes.
Because even when somebody brings something to my attention, like if you bring something to my attention through the course of an evening, I already still have a map of what's going on in the evening. And so it's like, wait, that doesn't fit the flow. How did that happen? And so it's so disruptive sometimes. But we need to realize, I think, above all, there's nothing really going wrong most of the time. It's the system doing what it's designed to do, which is expose some things.
I guess the thing that would be wrong is if I don't pay attention to it.
And then respond in kind. Because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes marital communication, there's a attempt at dominating from one partner. Hmm. And they're playing blind to themselves. And maybe they are. And it's like, you know what? No, I am going to have a voice here, even when it's disruptive. And I can get better at handling myself and confronting the things I need to and dealing with the things I need to, which then changes the dynamic. But it's still, all of it involves discomfort. There's the whole theme for today. Is marital communication will have discomfort, and it's a chance I can use it to grow.
All right. Well, because here's to being uncomfortable, I guess.
Exactly. Because it's not usually because I'm not sure what they're saying. It's more about, I don't know if I like what they're saying.
Well, that's just it.
Because of what's going on, it's exposing about me or the differences between us or what have you. That's what's actually going on. So therein is the opportunity I have to help create a better me, which then hopefully creates a better us.
Hopefully.
Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, 214-702-9565 or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. So however you took some time out to spend with us, thanks. And we'll see you next time.